Three states have moved to all mail-in ballots for Election Day. There isn't anything to indicate that Arizona will follow in their footsteps, but a healthy majority of voters in last week's Phoenix City election cast their ballots via mail. And in the 2018 general election, nearly 85% of Maricopa County voters decided at home, signed their ballots, put stamps on them, and put them in the mail. Recently, I caught up with Maricopa County Recorder Adrian Fontes as we talked about election policies and procedures more broadly, and he mentioned he thought moving to all mail-in ballots would make sense.
I want to make sure that we have a system that works. Right now, we have two systems that work pretty well. And you really rarely, if ever, hear of issues with the early voting system, which is our ballot by mail system. But the precinct-based polling place part of our election requires literally thousands of new people to be trained on new equipment, hundreds of locations that have to be made available, enormous logistical issues across the entire county, when what you could do is really make it much more efficient, deliver a product that the vast majority of our voters really want, and it would never prevent anyone from voting in person. That's the critical part about going to all ballot by mail. Now, I'm not going to go out there and, you know, cheerlead for this and try to lobby for this and all that sort of stuff. I'll leave the policy to the policymakers. But from my perspective, it would be much more cost effective. It would be much easier to talk to voters about. They would have better access. And we would just deliver a much better product. So I'm hoping that we're going to be able to do that sometime soon. And let's see what happens.
That's Maricopa County Recorder Adrian Fontes. To learn more about mail-in ballots and questions about whether expanding them here and in other states would improve the overall system, I spoke with Lana Atkinson. She's director of the University of New Mexico's Center for the Study of Voting, Elections, and Democracy. I started by asking about what she thinks the pluses of all mail-in balloting are.
So one aspect administratively is it reduces the overall cost of elections. The second thing, and we're not certain of this, election officials in those states make claims that turnout increases when you have all mail balloting. And there's some slight evidence maybe to support that. But again, it goes up and down, depends on, you know, mostly voters are mobilized by campaigns, not by election administration. So the third thing I would say is that for local election officials, it really takes the making sausage out of the voting process. Right? How do you make sausage? Well, you can't look at it. And it all goes to a central location. And, you know, there's no pesky poll workers who, you know, interfere with people's right to vote or create problems during Election Day or during early voting. So it really keeps election administrators in control of the situation, something they sort of lose control of on Election Day when there are, you know, in a city like Phoenix, you know, hundreds of precincts that they have to manage and control.
Okay, Lana, so those are the pluses from your point of view. So now let's move to what you think the minuses are for states that may consider moving to all mail-in balloting.
You know, we don't see a lot of fraud, but where there is fraud, it tends to be more likely to be mail balloting than in-person balloting. We see a rare occasional instance of in-person fraud voting where someone claims to be someone else, and we catch that. But you know, mostly when we do catch voter fraud, we catch it in mail balloting. Now, that's not a lot of ballots in the sea of 100 million ballots if we count them all across the states, but in any particular election, it could be enough votes to change the outcome because some elections are very, very close. And so I think it's important to put North Carolina, you know, front and center here. The North Carolina 9th Congressional District is having an unprecedented, you know, re-election because of vote by mail ballot fraud. So I think the problem is actually one of security and how much sort of insecurity we're willing to have in the process. It's very hard in some ways to catch this. So in North Carolina, it was caught because they have quite a difficult voter vote by mail process where you actually have to have a witness sign the form, and poll workers who were counting ballots suddenly noticed there were lots of signatures by the same person, right? So that was something that clued them in. You know, we want secure elections. In fact, in surveys that I did in 2018, when, you know, vote hacking was, you know, top of the fraud ladder, people were sort of equally concerned about the possibility of high-tech hacking as they were about low-tech hacking of votes, vote tampering, vote harvesting, you know, election officials who might change votes or poll workers, right? They were just as concerned about that as the high tech.
Have we heard anything that indicates that those who've been voting for 50 or 60 years are less likely to be embracing it, whereas younger voters may think, great idea?
So I would say what you see more is like, well, really rural people, certainly people who are disabled or people who are, you know, house-ridden or bedridden or something like that, right? They can't get out. And so those people need vote by mail. So we've got to have vote by mail for those types of cases. The question is, do we want to open it up for everyone?
Is there anything you could think of that would make it feel like there would be momentum for something like this, for more states to adopt it?
Well, I think there is a lot of momentum. I mean, I think there's a lot of interest in the community. And I want to raise another issue, which I think is important. Does that promote possibly vote buying or vote pressuring? So there's evidence in the academic literature, there's research that shows that people who don't think their ballot is secret tend to vote differently than people who are similarly situated who also vote. So let's imagine that you have an all-male balloting situation and, you know, you live with your family you know, maybe your ballots arrive and your mom says, hey, let's have a vote party. Or your friend or your coworker, right? Or your, right? And so it seems to me that it adds a lot of potential social pressure to voting and to perhaps voting a way you didn't want to vote. Because I can certainly say that I really appreciate the secret of ballot and that there's been times when, you know, I don't want to tell people and I don't want, you know, to talk about who I chose to vote for. And I think a lot of people are in that situation. And when you're engaging in what is essentially community voting in some circumstances or potential pressure for community voting, you know, what does that do to the individual and their right to vote the way they want to?
Lana Atkinson is director of the University of New Mexico's Center for the Study of Voting, Elections, and Democracy.